I'm going to talk about speaking with tongues tonight. I'm stirred up about it. I wish I knew 35 years ago what I'm seeing right now. It's not an add-on. It is the core of what we're doing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Okay. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for this property, this building that you've privileged us to have. We thank you that we have the ability to gather with one another in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the ability to open ourselves up to the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the teacher. He's the teacher. Holy Spirit, we recognize you're the revealer. You're the teacher. And I thank you that you are anointing and have anointed our ears, minds, and hearts to see what we could not see without you. We thank you for revelation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation, not condemnation, right? Read this out loud together with me. Let's go read. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. By raised hand, how many of you agree that since Jesus was crucified, buried, died 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, he was glorified? So now the Holy Spirit, therefore, has been given because Jesus has been glorified. Amen. Therefore, if anyone's thirsty spiritually, they can come to Jesus and drink. And when they do, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water, so others can drink from Jesus that's in them. Isn't that cool to think that he solves our thirst by giving us rivers? I mean, you come for a drink and he gives you rivers coming out of you. Isn't that cool? And it's rivers of living water. Now, the New King James says out of his heart, and the Greek word, there's only one Greek word for heart, and that's cardia. And that's not the Greek word here. The Greek word here is literally belly or stomach. Not out of your heart, but out of the belly zone. Right? Go to the next verse, and you see here rivers and spirit are put together as concepts. One of the analogies of the spirit is rivers. And here's Isaiah saying, or God saying through Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord." L-O-R-D here is Jehovah or Jesus. So it's still Jesus talking. It's just 600 years earlier. So he's still on point with his message, right? So what was Jesus saying 600 years before John? He said, "Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb." Oh, I love this. "Who will help you?" You know, God didn't make us to leave us helpless. He didn't form us in the womb to abandon us. He'll never abort any of us. He made us, he formed us, and he said, "I formed you and I will help you." He said, "Fear not." Wow. Fear not. Well, if you got God helping you, listen to me. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying tonight. If God says, "I'm helping you," why do you need to fear? You don't. He's helping you. Say that out loud. The Lord's helping me. Now, he's going to tell you how he's going to help you. First of all, he's going to send a helper who will never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to send you not help, but a helper. You see, if I sent someone help, that may be the last time I help them. But if I send them a helper, a person, and I tell that person, "Don't you ever leave them," then you don't just have one-time help, you have a lifetime of help. So he didn't just send help, he sent a helper. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And the next thing he says is, fear not. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said, Timothy, who was very timid, he said, "I encourage you to stir up the gift of God that is in you by the giving on of laying on of my hands. There's only one gift that's given through the laying on of hands. That's the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with tongues. Paul must have been the one to lay hands on Timothy. So he said, Timothy, because Timothy was a rather timid person, and you can't afford to be timid and be in leadership as spiritually. You just can't. It will eat you up. Any leadership. All right? And so he said, stir up the gift of God that's within you by the laying on of my hands, for God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. A sound mind means a mind that's sharp. It can think. It's supernaturally in tune with God, ready to make decisions, ready to do what needs to be done. It's a mind that in spite of anything coming against it, somehow the helper helps you think through it. Now, when you stir up tongues, you stir up the gift of God by praying in tongues, three things, three rivers begin to flow. Power. Power means ability. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love. Do you know love casts out fear? You won't fear anybody that you love. You won't fear rejecting people if you're loving them by the love of God, because you're not loving them hoping they stay. You're loving them in spite of that. So you can love without fear. And then a sound mind. The word sound is a straight, well-balanced, fine-tuned mind. That all comes from praying in tongues. It's funny to me, when I first received the Holy Spirit, I had well-meaning people say, I know people that spoke with tongues and they're now in the insane asylum. That's what I was told. Well, of course the devil's going to contradict God. God says the more you pray in tongues, the more sound your mind gets. The more peaceful your mind gets. Hallelujah. So this is exactly in line. He said, I will help you. That's the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he says is, don't fear. O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Do you know God has chosen us? Do you know God picked you out before you picked him out? He chose you a long time ago. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, he has chosen us to be in the beloved. Hallelujah. You know, if God chose you, how in the world, if God picked you out, handpicked you, God doesn't pick losers, which means there are none. He picked us on to be, every human being has been chosen. What you need to do is go ahead and join the team. Amen. Now watch, here's the help. He said, don't fear, because I will pour water on him who is thirsty. What is water? Jesus said it's the Holy Spirit. I will pour water on. That's not the new birth. The new birth is receiving Jesus within you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit coming upon you. That's different than salvation. I ought to say this. I shouldn't have to say it. You do not have to speak with tongues to go to heaven. But you might go to heaven sooner than you want to, because you're not accessing your help. So the Lord graciously is saying, I've given you a gift. Dare to receive it. Dare to receive it. God wants you filled more than you want to be filled. Amen? Now, he says, don't fear, because I will help you, because here's how I'm helping you. I'm going to pour water on him who is thirsty and floods, wow, on the dry ground. Floods. It's gone from water to floods. What did Jesus say? Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Apparently, they're flood rivers, overwhelming rivers. There's more flowing out of us than we think. It's not a trickle. It's an overwhelming flood, floods. Our help is coming in the form of floods on dry ground. Say, well, I just feel so dry. Praise God, you're a candidate for the floods. Yeah. And then he clarifies, he said, I will pour my spirit. Now he's telling you what he's talking about. The water, the floods, is my spirit. He said, I will pour my spirit on your descendants. So he doesn't just want you filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants your kids, your kids' kids, your kids' kids' kids, your kids' 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 kids. That he wants us to experience a generational blessing. But it doesn't come by magic. It comes because you pray in the Holy Ghost in front of your children. And you value it and you espouse it and you value that to where they become interested. Amen. Once you get the Holy Spirit in your family, make sure you don't ever let it leave your family. Okay? The best inheritance you can leave your children and your grandchildren is to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the ability to pray in tongues. and the desire to. I'd rather leave my kids filled with the Holy Spirit and broke, which is impossible, than full of money and no Holy Spirit. Because money is one thing, but the blessing that keeps on giving is another thing. Amen. But you're going to find out in this, I got to hurry because this is good. The title of this message is Praying in Tongues and the Blessing of Abraham. I'm telling you, I mean, it's so cool what I'm seeing. It's like my eyes have popped open. And I think a lot of it's where the Lord told me back in December, pray more in the Spirit. More, more. So he says, I will pour what? My Spirit on your descendants. That includes you. But then he changes the label. And my blessing on your offspring. So the way that God pours his blessing, not blessings, the blessing is by pouring out his Spirit. The way he pours out his supernatural blessing is by pouring out his Spirit. So within the outpouring of the Spirit is his blessing. Singular. There's only one blessing in the earth. He gave that to Adam before he fell. When he created Adam and Eve, he said he blessed them and commanded them to do some things. Be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. Be fruitful doesn't just mean children. It does mean that, but it includes all fruitfulness. It includes financial fruitfulness, marital fruitfulness, ministry fruitfulness, leaving a legacy, and not just fruitful, but multiplied. Hallelujah. And he blessed them and said, have dominion over the earth. How do we have dominion? By being blessed. How does the blessing go? It goes from Adam. He lost the blessing. He forfeited it. So it transferred, and God finally got it back into the earth through Abraham. And now it's called Abraham's blessing. Abraham's blessing was the blessing of dominion that Adam lost that was restored through Abraham's faith. And now when we're in Christ, we now have the very blessing God originally gave the human race that makes you have dominion. But he calls it my Spirit. The way God restores dominion to you is by pouring out his Spirit on you. Isn't that crazy? And then what does he say? And my blessing on your offspring, and they, including you, and they will spring up among the grass like willows by watercourses. Who all wants to see? How many of you want to see your kids do real well? Marry the right person, do the right calling, have the right career, do well financially, do well in life, do well in obeying God, right? We want our kids to do real well, don't we? Well, God says the way to do it is for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, then they will spring up among the little grass like huge trees. You know, if you have nice grass by a water course, a river, you have nice grass, and right in the middle of that grass is some huge willow tree whose roots are in the water courses. And it's like there's all this pretty little grass, everybody else, but your child is like a willow tree. That's what God says. Your kids, if they'll receive the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit, they're going to be a tree among grass. What happens with that? The grass then begins to want to know, why is that tree a tree? And then they are able to lead them to the Lord Jesus, to the water course. Now let's break this down and let's see what he's talking about here. Again, this is what he's talking about, offspring. And Isaiah, again, prophesies of the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus died for. And he said, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant. I like how he says, all those other covenants are cool, but this is my covenant. This is the one I claim. With them, my Spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth. God's covenant involves two things, his Spirit on you and his words in your mouth. If his Spirit's not on you, and you're not allowing his words in your mouth, you're not taking advantage of the covenant. And everything in the covenant that Jesus paid for gets activated when you're filled with the Spirit speaking with tongues. It activates the covenant. Well, I don't know what all's in the covenant. Isn't that good that you can pray beyond your comprehension? See, that's why Jesus said in Ephesians 3, he said, God will do exceedingly, man, abundantly, above all that we could ask. It's above what you can ask. You know when you're praying in tongues, you're praying above what you know how to ask because you don't know what to pray for as you ought. Or think. It says when we're praying in tongues, our spirit prays, but our thinking is unfruitful. This is talking about tongues. Ephesians 3:20, he says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think according to the power that's working in you. That's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Who all wants to experience exceedingly abundantly above and beyond? We got some good days ahead of us if we heed what the Spirit of God is saying right now. No wonder the devil fights this. No wonder he tries to call it insane and stupid, and he's afraid of it. He's been around since the resurrection. He knows what wreaks havoc. He couldn't stop the Holy Ghost from coming, but he can stop us from receiving. And then if he can't stop you from receiving, he'll just try to convince you it's not all that important. So that you're living in the covenant, but not activating the covenant. It's as if you're not even don't even have a covenant. My spirit on them, my words in their mouth. Say it out loud. His spirit on me. His words in my mouth. See, that's why I take issue with people that say, well, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit without speaking with tongues. Not according to God. Now, you can probably be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak with tongues, but what's the point? Mountains don't move because of what's in you. Mountains move because of what's on your mouth. So what good is being filled with the Spirit and your mouth shut? What's the point? Why are you arguing for a sterile faith? We want the Holy Ghost not only in our spirit, but flowing out of our mouth. He said, out of your belly shall flow. There's only one way it can flow. Out your mouth. What am I doing? I am activating things that are above and beyond what I could even think. I'm praying way above my pay grade. All right? And then he says, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your children, nor from the mouth of your children's children. God is so serious about this, he doesn't ever want it to leave your family ever again. He says, and look, here's how you can tell it's the new covenant. He said, from this time and forevermore. Praise God. Let's go to the next verse. Y'all receiving this? Who all has tried to increase their praying in the Spirit? Get in. Don't rob yourself. Your emotions, your mind, your flesh is going to fight you. Your body is going to say, oh, I'm just too tired to do this right now. I need a nap. Your flesh doesn't want any of this. The devil doesn't want any of this. But I'm telling you what I have experienced. As I pray, sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours at a time in the Spirit, I hit a place where it's almost automatic. It's a river. It's no longer a pump. It's a river. And what I've noticed is an aggressive peace beginning to do something in here. An aggressive peace. He said, this is the rest. Some of you need less sleep and more tongues. Now, again, this is Acts chapter 2. This is right after the day of Pentecost, right after they were filled with the Spirit, spoke with tongues, and Peter's preaching, and they said, well, what do we do? What do we, you know, the people that were watching all this said, what do we do? And Peter said, repent, change your thinking. Stop thinking that God's mad at you. Stop thinking that the law is the key, because he's talking to Jews right here. And he said, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ into, it says, for the remission, it's the Greek word, ice, E-I-S, into the remission of sins. Now, the reason I say that is you're not baptizing for or to get remission. You're being baptized into the removal of sins, which is already there. He said, get baptized into this. Get in there. Get in. Right? The remission of sins literally means not the covering of sins, but the total removal of them. So when you're baptized in water, it's symbolic of that. You're baptized, you die in the water. When you come up, your sins are totally washed and left. That's the symbolism of baptism. So you're being baptized into a place where sin doesn't exist. You've been baptized into the remission of sins. The minute you receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit places you into Christ, you're placed into a person where there is no sin. God no longer sees sin or remembers your sin. Won't even talk to you about it. And you shall, he says, when you receive Jesus and are baptized into him and cleansed of your sin, he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, say that out loud, the promise. See, there's a lot of promises. Man, this is helping me so much because I remember growing up, I had a relative that had a promise, a daily promise thing. And I'm not against it, okay? I'm not against it, but you know, you can look at all kinds of promises every day and still die defeated. And that person did because they were focused on the written promises, but they weren't yielded to the promise, which activates all the promises. I'm going to give you something really powerful. There were a lot of Christians back in that day that couldn't read, but they could pray in tongues. They could walk in the blessing without even knowing what one promise was because they could pray beyond their mind and beyond their ability to talk. We've got something powerful here. It's so powerful, God calls it the promise. Now, remember my boring life? I spent an hour and a half studying what the word the means in the Greek. And one of the uses of the article in the Greek, it can mean just a particular person, like there's the man instead of a man, but there's the man. Or I could walk into the room and say, you're the man, meaning I'm it, you know. Or it can be used in the term of the most famous of all. The means the most famous. It's the most excellent of all. All right? That's how this word the is used here. Of all the promises God ever made, this one's king of all. The rest work when this one's in place. The promise. The one we've been waiting for. The one we've been waiting for millennia to come. The promise. Peter said, guys, it's here. It's here. The promise is here. Receive Jesus, be baptized into the remission of sins, and come get your gift, the promise that prophets have been prophesying about for thousands of years. Amen. It says, for the promise is to you and who? To your children and to all who are afar off. That'd be us up here in Maysville 2,000 some years later. We're part of that, right? Some people say, well, you know, that's just for whoever, you know, being filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues, that's only for the people God wants to have it. No, not according to the Bible. It's for everybody. It's for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call, as many as receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Praise God. Amen. Next verse. Y'all receiving this? Let's go back. He said, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, floods on the dry ground. In fact, the Holy Spirit's working on some of you in here now. You haven't received the Holy Spirit, but you're wanting. You're wanting. You understand that's a work of the Holy Spirit? Because I've never seen anyone receive the Holy Spirit that doesn't want him. I've never seen anybody drink that's not thirsty. So if you're not thirsty for what God says is so precious, the first thing you should say is, Lord, help me be thirsty. Help me to see the need for this. Help me to be thirsty. Because if you're not drinking of this, you're robbing yourself of what God says you should have. Amen. And he says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty, floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, my blessing on your offspring. Next verse. What is this blessing that's in the spirit? Notice what Proverbs 10:22 says. The blessing of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, Jesus, the new covenant. The blessing of the Lord Jesus makes one rich, rich, fully supplied. Rich doesn't just mean money, but it includes it. You don't need money, you need the blessing. Not blessings. Not blessings, the blessing which produces blessing after blessing after blessing. And it says, God says, it makes one rich. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. Because you can have billions of dollars and be worried about dying. You can have billions of dollars and they can't fix your cancer. You can have billions of dollars, but your kids hate you because you abandon them just to make the money. You can have billions of dollars and be afraid of losing it. That's not true wealth. That's scared wealth. Right? The blessing of the Lord, though, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. How many of you want to be rich in every way with no pain and sorrow with it? Sorrowless wealth. Now, the word sorrow here, and they indicate it also means this in the brackets, neither does toiling increase it. It doesn't come by your hard work and frustration and struggle. God says it is effortless increase. It comes through rest. Now, what's Hebrews 4? Don't go there, but Hebrews 4, what, 12? He said, therefore, labor to enter into rest. Labor to enter into rest. And that's kind of weird. How do you labor and rest at the same time? But see, that's spiritual truth. It's paradoxical. You have to labor to enter into rest. What does that mean? Isaiah 28:11, he says, I will speak to them through stammering lips in another tongue. Talking about speaking with tongues. And he said, this is the rest. And this being filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues, is the refreshing. So what he's saying here is the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. And it doesn't come by you toiling and scratching and clawing. It comes by you laboring in tongues to come into a place of rest. So the blessing of the Lord will begin to increase you without you being in a place of labor. Rest and be blessed. And be a blessing. Let's read this out loud together with me, please. Say it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Now, God's not opposed to us working, but he doesn't want us working ourselves to death internally. Right. Next verse. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? If you go back and read through the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that's called the law of Moses. But you can also include all the prophets because that can be included as well. And so wherever a curse is pronounced in the Old Testament for disobeying the law, you have been redeemed from the curse of a broken law. Now, it can come under several categories, but I'll summarize the curse under probably three general categories. The curse of the law means you're cursed with sickness and disease, bad health. The curse of the law includes poverty and lack. The curse of the law includes emotional, mental turmoil that leads to an early death. That summarizes pretty much the curse of the law is under those three headings. Physical, financial, emotional, mental. Amen? But what did Christ do? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's no curse in the Old Testament that you have to be subjected to for disobedience to the law. Jesus canceled the curse. We're not cursed. Please don't say I'm cursed with this and that because my mother had it, my daddy had it. Why are you speaking curses on you when he redeemed you from it? So now you're just suffering the curse of your ignorance, not the law. You're suffering the curse of your own mouth. And Satan is going to accommodate that. Amen. Satan is totally defeated, so he has to borrow your mouth. His mouth doesn't work unless you get your mouth in agreement with his mouth. So don't give him anything to work with. He has no authority. Jesus took all authority from Satan. He has none. He is a zero. He is a zero. He has no authority, so he has to convince you to use your authority with your mouth against others and yourself. Don't let him borrow your authority that's supposed to bless you and cause it to curse others and yourself. If you have curse in your life, you are your own devil. Devil means accuser. Why would you want to take Satan's place? I'd rather pray in tongues and be accused by the devil than speak curses and get agreement from the devil. When you're praying in tongues, you're standing against all Antichrist spirits. And I really don't care. Anybody want to shout? because he has become a curse for us. Listen to me. You do not have to be or stay cursed. You're not cursed. You're blessed. Period. Glory to God. Activate it. Activate it. Activate it. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Do y'all know Jesus hung on a tree? That the blessing. Now, why did he become cursed? Not just, look. To have a curseless life is still to not be blessed. If we end with verse 13, we're not cursed, but we're not blessed. So we're now just, it's just our own ability. But he said he redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, the nations, the ethnic groups in Christ Jesus. I don't know what ethnic group you are, but if you're in Christ, that's where the blessing is. Red or white, black or yellow, brown, blue, purple. You are, if you're in Christ, the blessing that was once only in the Jewish race is now on every ethnic group that's in Christ. Who all's in Christ? You're in the blessing. You're in the blessing. You're coming through this. You're coming out of this. You're coming out of this. Not because you're smart, but because of who God is. Not because you got your act together, but who God is. Listen, you're in Christ not because you deserve it, and you're blessed not because you deserve it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what does he call it? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, here's what I saw today. I've been in the ministry over 30-some years, and I never saw it. I never saw it. I thought I saw it, but I never saw it. Notice the phrase, the blessing of Abraham. See that in that verse? Say that out loud. The blessing of Abraham. Skip down and read what he replaces it with. The promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham comes when you receive the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues. The blessing of Abraham equals the promise of the Spirit that whom you receive through faith. When you receive the promise of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues, you have now received the coveted, the blessing of Abraham. And the more you pray in tongues, the more you activate the blessing of Abraham. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What's in the blessing of Abraham? You ought to go check it out. It guaranteed him supernatural prosperity. It guaranteed him supernatural protection. And it guaranteed him supernatural long life. Don't let the devil tell you that this is not significant. Next verse. This is the blessing originally given to Abraham. This is the genesis of it. This is the blessing of Abraham. This is when God blessed Abram. And later on, it became Abraham. Let's see what it's all about. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage. Notice God's interested in his advantage. Away from your country, away from your relatives and your father's house to the land I will show you. You know, sometimes you got to get away from your unbelieving relatives because they'll define you by who you are in the flesh instead of by who you are in the spirit. Now, not just relatives, but some unbelieving friends. Love them, but find some better fellowship. He said, Abraham, you're going to have to get away from those folks if you ever develop any confidence in what I'm saying to you, because they'll talk you out of it. And he said, and I will make of you a great nation. That's us. I know it's the Jews, but it's now us. We are the holy nation, right? And I will bless you with what? Abundant increase of favors, things being done for you that you don't deserve and didn't know how it got there. And I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing and dispensing good to others. When we lay hands on the sick, what are we doing? We're dispensing the blessing of Abraham through the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the blessing of Abraham. We're dispensing it. You can't dispense what you don't have. That's why he said, drink of the Spirit, and then out of your belly will flow rivers. He said, I'll bless you with all I've got, but out of you will flow the blessing to everybody else. You know, you can't water a garden with a water hose without the inside of the hose getting wet. The flowers got wet, but so did the hose. And I will bless those who bless you. who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses you or use insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. How do you bless yourself? Receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. God's given us the power to bless ourselves. And in doing that, we're able to bless others. You can't give what you don't have, but we've got it all. Amen. Stop seeing yourself as trying to get something and start seeing yourself as someone that has a ton to give. And as you start looking to give the anointing, give a prophetic word, give a blessing, lay hands on the sick, you're beginning to activate the fact that I'm already rich in Him. People that are always trying to get act like they don't have. People that are always trying to give act like they have. The best way to exercise abundance is to give away what you have in Jesus' name. That's why it says pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Because when you're praying for somebody else, you're taking the position of I'm healed and praying for them. When you tithe and give offerings in the church, you're not trying to get something. You're saying I am so rich and so blessed, I've got to give some away. Rich people tithe, give, lay hands on the sick, pray for others. When you become a giver, you become an Abraham blessing releaser. Is this good? Go back to Isaiah 44, or go to the next verse. Let's see if it's on there. Yeah. Notice this, and then we'll close. They, including you, but your children will spring up among the grass like willows by what? A water course would obviously be a river. Huh? Willows by the watercourses. You know, if a willow tree is right by a river, it doesn't matter how much drought, because their roots are in a stream that never stops. You know, when we have droughts here in Ohio, Kentucky, I've never seen the Ohio River dry up. The best way to overcome a drought is stay close to a river and keep your roots in the river. If your roots are in the river, your leaves and fruit are fine. And what's the river? Out of your belly flows rivers of living water, which causes you to be a willow by a water course. Next verse. Now this will make sense. Do you understand that the law of Moses has been replaced by the Holy Spirit? Would you agree with that statement? The law has been replaced by the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the law of Moses was given in the Old Covenant. The law was given on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 died at the bottom of the mountain. In the new covenant, the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached the gospel and 3,000 lived. In the Old Testament, Moses came from the high place with the Ten Commandments and broke them before they ever got to the people. In the New Testament, the 120 came out of the upper room, the high place, and when they came down, they preached the gospel and 3,000 lived because Jesus took care of the broken law. The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Right? Now remember watercourses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take advice from people that don't know God. That includes Christians that don't ever read their Bible. Or Christians that don't come to church and don't pray in the Holy Spirit. You can be born again and ungodly. It means you just don't think like God or act like God. There's a lot of ungodly people that died and went to hell. I mean, went to heaven. Born again, but not like God. Right? You can be born again and ungodly. Christians need to learn that. Because some of you have got some ungodly counsel and it didn't work well, but you thought it was godly because it came from a person with a fish on their car. You know, they probably bought that car from somebody that was a Christian and they just never took it off. You know, it was already on the car. You know, that's why I don't honk if you love Jesus, because they may not know that that's on the car and they're not saved and they've got a gun and they've got anger issues and now you got road rage. It's even more, even if, especially if it is a Christian who's been under an angry religion, don't honk. Right? Just trying to help there. Who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. You know, sinners have a path. They're predictable. They've worn a path. They're very predictable. it's not hard to see the path of a sinner. It always leads away from God and into a mess. Right? So say, well, I didn't know. Well, yeah, you do. You knew. You knew not to get too chummy with that person. Chummy. Look it up. I didn't say chumpy, but I could have. Okay. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So here's three activities. Walking, standing, sitting. At first, you're not too comfortable with it. You're still walking. Then you get settled a little and you stand. You're getting a little more comfortable. Then you're like, you know what? This thing where God's not all that important, Bible's not all that important. Yeah, I'm pretty cool. And you sit. So you've gone from walking past the ungodly to standing in the path of sinners who always miss the mark to now you're sitting with the scornful. Now, what's a scornful person? Joy Behar. He hears God. Tongues. I don't believe that. That's dumb. Let's don't do too much of that. Oh, that's ridiculous. That's scornful. Amen. If you're seated with the scornful, you'll never reign with Christ. Okay? Now, but his delight is in the what? And in his law, he meditates day and night. And what happens? He shall be like a tree planted by the watercourses, the rivers of water. Huh? And what happens when he's by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season? And all the time is its season. Who's that? So fruitfulness, productivity in every area, fruitfulness every season, yes. But not just that, whose leaf also shall not wither. That means you don't have to physically wither and die young. Some people are fruitful, but they destroy their body doing it. You can have both good fruit with good leaves. The tree is still in good shape after it bears fruit. And then, and whatsoever he or she does shall prosper. But what did we say? What did we say? The law has been replaced by the Spirit. Here it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. The word meditate is hagah. It means to mutter under your breath. The word Jewish word meditate, hagah, H-A-G-A-H, means to mutter under your breath. And we should mutter, but we're not to mutter the law. Here is, let's get this verse saved. But his delight is in the Holy Spirit. And in the Spirit and in tongues, he meditates. He mutters in tongues day and night. That person will be like a willow by a watercourse. They'll always be productive and fruitful. You want to increase fruitfulness in your life, physical health, and always prospering. If you'll pray in tongues and activate the covenant, you'll get the same thing in the new covenant by muttering in tongues that they got by muttering the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Okay, we got 2 minutes. Can we do 2 minutes of praying in the Holy Spirit? So let's exercise ourselves in the Spirit. So Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that it is access to the blessing of Abraham for our children, our lives. And so, Lord, we're just going to yield to the Holy Spirit for 2 minutes and just begin to pray. In hambro feci, in hambro fote. Se la brovoce brevi setingra bahalevrete. Again, if you want to kneel up here or want to walk, whatever. Karamashe karama alabesanada. Ekoramesakla. Embre engrashlevre spebroko rekaze. Zebri fashe provora seste crabe. O rabashe provoso so nebreve setisto tote tiriki. Amana naso rebede serebe. Correbede seladavashina madada. Mandalana. Mananana delarab. Corra mananana selombre. Mala makila sevelaka. Ora beshe prafe. Secrova sura hashta. Ya. Kamanatsa kome. Anskela kasa kobe. Leve duba seveli. Shikaraba besorebede sediala. Ora memela karebe sorebe ste krasi. Ora mena sorebede selebrebe sambrebe sosoche lingrede sanamanata. More mena selebrebo sorebe kaya zanglandore meste grasso remanda. So many devresse serebre zizile vraga sela dolo mono mashera. Mana mira devoro sebede carangere carede. Urebe che rebede zirre mananina.
Oh,
One more minute. Sora me cala da bosche le vrespa, sora me cala vese come siete fremi se riviti correte, sere de rubele sur me nella salo d'urma casa o casa, masca coro masca, coro masca, coro masca vla, shekro a zekro vrosa sur rebeste rebesi, sur me ne sur me ne ndelo rebese se se caras la grobosa vrebisa, coro me ne vrende zor rebele vese sa li ca, ha ha, somana keda, masse, Samana nama solata. Shongo mani bara. Mosha mana gea. Masa nola gada. More bede about 30 more seconds. Kura bede breze zeze zeze dore bede sore mene sore bede zelo rike de zela mi. Zela mora mana sana. Bela bora mana sana. Bero mora. Mora dea. Mora tada. Nala vrega daza zeze gore besa. Shena masa ka nyen zigla vreza do bedevi. No rebebe. Bola vrezata kolabora voshe kede hallelujah. Sora bofere de zakura bro sekri, zore beshe tore bede. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this covenant. Thank you for this Holy Ghost. Goramala. Golamaya zedea. Oh, thank him, Brombo Simbre, the Zela Braba Zoa. Halam Brobosa Vakena Mandala Vorosa Shekede. Oh, Kawa, Lia, Maya, Roga, Lia. Ha ha ha. Omiana, Omianele. Omiana, Omialeda. Omanina, Alaboleda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorabegada de Sadadadadodo, Sila, Samana Debelo Horamasa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. The blessing of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. Turn around. Isn't that good? Love you guys. Y'all have a blessed week. Amen. Praise God.